In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Jesus says, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Water. It is everywhere on this earth. Everywhere this liquid life flows, there is hope. There is peace. From the poor ice caps to steamy geysers to vast oceans and babbling brooks, water. It is indeed everywhere. And wherever water flows, you can be sure to find life. Like water, so also the Word of God. Where the Word of God flows, that is where it is preached in its truth and purity, where it is abided in and held fast to, where parched sinners receive it as a thirsty drink for their life, there is indeed life. Jesus says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. To drink of Jesus is to receive his Holy Spirit. So here in John chapter 7, Jesus equates the Holy Spirit with living water. And this is not the first time that Jesus has equated the Holy Spirit with living water. Now, you may remember a man named Nicodemus, a leader of the Pharisees, who sought counsel or inquiry of Jesus as to what he taught. And he thought that when Jesus referred to one being born again, that meant that you had to re-enter your mother's womb a second time. I mean, perish the thought, right? Silly Nicodemus. For what is born of the flesh, Nicodemus, is of the flesh. That means that everyone who is born into the world is born in this way, according to this flesh. But, Nicodemus, what is born of the Spirit is of spirit. And it is this way with everyone who is born of the Spirit. For Nicodemus, you hear the Spirit, but you do not understand where it comes from or where it goes. You cannot control it. You cannot explain it. But nonetheless, it happens by the Spirit. It happens by the Spirit. It happens, you see, when the words of Jesus are attached to physical water. As you all well know, physical water by itself is simply plain water. It sustains you for a period of time, your physical life, but eventually it cannot keep you alive. But when Jesus adds his word to that water becomes a life-giving water, an altogether something different thing. For then it is a spiritual water, a life-giving water that is rich in grace, a lavish washing of new birth, a nothin from above by way of the Spirit. And so having called his thirsty children around him to drink of his word and his Spirit, Jesus gathers on this great festival day, this 50 days after his death and resurrection, and he cries out, whoever believes in me, or the believing one, come to me and drink, for out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now understand, it's not out of the believer's heart that water flows. That is to say, we are not the reservoir of life. We are in need of receiving that life. We are not the fountain from which life flows, but we are rather the parched lips that yearn for it and desire to drink of it. We are not the vine. We are simply branches of the vine, members of the body. And so we drink of this living water from the one from whom it flows. So Jesus, as you know also, spoke to a woman at a well. And he said to her, you know, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is asking you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Interesting. Because Jesus says, you know, whoever drinks from this water, from this well that we are standing next to, you and me, will remain thirsty, will continue to have to drink from that well. But Jesus says, whoever drinks from the water that I will give you will never be thirsty again, even in the age which is to come. The hymnist captures the tender receiving of this word of water, this life-giving water, in this stanza of a hymn. The poet says, I heard the voice of Jesus say, behold, I freely give. The living water, thirsty one, stoop down and drink and live. I came to Jesus and I drank of that life-giving stream. My thirst was quenched, my soul revived, and now I live in Him. That is how you live. You live hearing the voice and the word which is in the water of Jesus. And it is a gifted new life to you. It is a new life while in the midst that you beg for a life of mercy, bend down under crosses and afflictions and sin and shame and all sorts of regrets and such. It is a new life that is now dressed and worn in joy and hope and peace. A new life that, as we shall hear, will strangely be given to us amid suffering and weeping and mourning and death. For John tells us today that, curiously, the Holy Spirit had not yet been given to the people because Jesus had not yet been what? Glorified. So the question is, when will Jesus be glorified and where will Jesus be glorified? Well, I can tell you with certainty that it will not look like glory when He is glorified. But I can assure you that the Son will return to the Father and the Spirit will be poured out upon all flesh. And that life will flow from a gaping wound. That life will seemingly flow from a bone-dry well. That life will flow from God's thirst for man's salvation. Yes, Jesus is glorified when He is crucified on the cross. Now Jesus thirsts for man, not just because dying men thirst. It's not as if Jesus is just simply identifying with us in our suffering or just simply saying, I know how it feels. No, He's doing far more than that. He is not come to us to simply quench our thirstiness or to identify with our thirstiness. He's here to give us life and a water that will well up into us, into eternal life. So when God says, I thirst from the cross, it is that He thirsts for us. So Job, this great sufferer that we know in the Old Testament, says in his great afflictions, you will call and I will answer you. You will long, O Lord, for the creatures that you have made. Think about that. God longs for the creatures that he has made, the sheep of his pasture that have strayed from the fold, that have been made by his own hand, but yet do not recognize that from that hand they receive all good things. That the one who made you and me thirsts for you and me that we might live even though we die. There's a thirst that God has which desires our salvation, which is so great that leads him to be crucified on a cross. For he would say, I thirst, even though out of his heart would flow rivers of living water. The irony, the mystery, the grace of all of this. He who said that he had living water to give now says, I thirst. He bowed his head, as you know, and he was giving over his spirit. Parodidomi. He did not give up his spirit. He handed it over. And a soldier, as you know, came and pierced his side, and from that gaping wound, water and blood flowed out. What did John say again? Out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. When he is glorified, his spirit is given. So yes, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Out of his life will flow the life-giving spirit. Out of his heart will flow new flesh for the healing of our hearts and our minds and our bodies. And we need, as you well know, or as you should know, we need that Holy Spirit to create in us a new heart. A new heart that is not deceitful above all things. A new heart that does not flow with rivers of idolatry and wrong faith. A heart that does not spew forth sewage and then claim to have the greatest desalination process by which, well, we all agree on the eighth commandment, but at this point, yeah, I'm not going to do it. It works for you, but not for me. There's only one heart that from which flows living water. But our God, who reveals himself in Christ, whom the Father has sent through his Holy Spirit, gives us this living water. It is a river of living water from which we are caught up in, as we hear the phrase, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That same Spirit who hovered over the waters of the great deep that were unformed, but yet formed them through his word and through the Spirit. And that all things came into being, and even that which we cannot see came into being. And that same Spirit who hovered over the waters when we were baptized in that baptismal font, that Spirit came to us and gave us new birth, and we were born again, a nothin from the Father. And he is the one, that Spirit is the one that follows you all your days in this earthly life and brings your remembrance all that Jesus has said and done, that you might know and believe in him and come to him. That you might hunger and thirst only for his righteousness and not seek the righteousness of the world. And that by the Spirit of God, that the words of the prophet Isaiah would be fulfilled. Yahweh will guide his people continually, and he will satisfy them in scorched places and make their bones to be strong. And he says that you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Why do they not fail? Because Jesus is the living water. He has died and he is now resurrected, and his life is inexhaustible. You cannot completely take it over. It will continue to come to you. You will never drink of its end, of its grace and its mercy, because it flows from and out of eternity. Yes, water is everywhere. Jesus is everywhere. The fancy word we have for that is the ubiquity of Christ. But I tell you today, there is a particular stream that flows in the city of God, a particular river that flows in the city of God from the temple of God that makes glad the thirsty sinners of this earth. For you and I know that all the man-made wells from which we drink in this life will simply not quench our thirst. We will retain our thirst. We will live life without peace and without hope and without consolation, and we will pant for new life until we die. But all who drink of this water that flows from the new temple, that flows from the crucified side of Jesus, though they die, yet shall they live. So Jesus says that every time and in every trial and in every affliction, in every temptation, even in the hour of your death, out of my heart for you flows rivers of living water. You who believe in me and you who confess me and you who come to me and drink will live. And you who drink from me will have the well of salvation. You will know the good comfort of your Holy Father. You will know the peace that surpasses all things. And most assuredly, you will know in the words of the prophet Ezekiel, where the river flows, there is life. In the name of Jesus, Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all your understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto eternal life. Amen.